At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at a Chuckery Show. Hanging out in the Key Studios Monday night with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Well, obviously a massive weekend coming up here in college football, as they always do. I mean, again, opening weekend in college football is just like the Daytona 500, right? You get the granddaddy of them all to start off the season. Always great action on opening weekend Fridays. Well, actually Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Action all weekend long. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk to our buddy Matt Mershell, national college football writer for the Orlando Sentinel. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at OS Matt Mershell. Matt, as always, buddy, appreciate a few minutes here on the show with me tonight.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
You know, I want to start because part of the reason I wanted to have you on is to talk a little bit about Florida State. And I think you and I talked about this a little bit the last time. But, you know, when I start looking around the landscape of college football, that I think everything has come together for Mike Norvell in this Florida State team. They've got their quarterback, running backs, defensive line is going to be outstanding. You know, again, this is a big year for Florida State where it feels like, and I know you wrote about this, you know, that maybe they're back. How big of a game is this against LSU? When's the last time Florida State really kind of played in a game that could be this important in how many years?
It's been a while. It's got to be close to a decade. I mean, you know, 2017, 2016 was probably the last time they were actually playing in relevant games, you know, where they were ranked in the top 10. Ever since then, after Jimbo Fisher left to go to Texas A&M, you know, they went through a carousel of coaches until they got to Mike Norvell. And by the time Mike Norvell took over this program, you know, it was just in a sorry state. And you look at the roster he had was in the beginning in 2020 was nowhere near what it needed to be. It was not a top caliber roster. And he's been able to, you know, in a short period of time, rebuild that talent pool and do it through a transfer portal and through recruiting. But this game this weekend, I mean, this could say a lot for where Florida State, the direction of the Florida State program is going. I mean, if they were to get a win against a top five team, you know, basically in their own backyard, so to speak, here in Orlando, you know, in the national TV audience, I mean, it would be huge. It would give them a boost in recruiting. It would give them a boost and I'm sure from the boosters and the donations aspect of things. Those are all the elements that they need to kind of improve on if they want to get back to where they've been, you know, back in the 90s, in the heydays, under Bobby Bowden and everyone. I mean, so this is a big weekend for them. Now, if they lose this game, I'm not saying this, you know, throws the whole season off. But I think it depends on how they play in this game. It goes to show where maybe they have an opportunity to still make a big statement today, this weekend.
Well, and Matt, you know, to that, I mean, look, it's not going to be easy getting out of the month of September because, again, they've got Clemson and LSU in that first month. And I will say that if they get through those two teams, they're in the playoffs. I'm going to go ahead and say it, that I'm high on Florida State to be a playoff team this year. And I really do think if they get out of this first month unscathed, and maybe it's good in some ways to catch LSU and Clemson early in the year, but if they get out of this first month, I don't see a reason why Florida State won't be a playoff team.
Yeah, you would really believe that. I mean, you look at the rest of their schedule. October's got nobody, Virginia Tech, Syracuse, Duke. I would say that Pittsburgh game at Pittsburgh on November 4th could be a challenge for them. It's a road game, and, you know, Pitts played well. But outside of that, I mean, and you know, you go to Florida at the end of the year. But, again, I don't think the Gators are going to be anywhere near as relevant as they've been in the past. So, yeah, if they get through those two games, I mean, you got to imagine that this is a Florida State team that's probably going to be ranked in the top four, is going to get into the playoff picture, and that alone would be huge. I mean, you think about where this program has been and where they would like to be at, and especially for Mike Norvell to really showcase the buy-in, the chemistry that he's built, the family atmosphere that he's put together with this program. I mean, to get to that point, to get to a playoff appearance, it'd be outstanding for them. And I'm sure it would do, you know, the ACC would love to have Florida State representing them, you know, because it's a national television brand, much like Clemson was as well.
You know, when we get to next Tuesday, I think the national media is going to have some fun, because I think the SEC goes 0-3 in three of their big games. I think South Carolina gets beat by North Carolina. I think Florida State beats LSU. And I think Florida's going to get hammered when they go out to Utah. I think Utah's a sleeping giant, and they want some payback for that game last year. What would it say? I mean, again, Georgia and Alabama are the cream of the crop, and that's who's going to rule, you know, the SEC. But it would be interesting if South Carolina, LSU, and Florida all lose in kind of their sort of marquee matchups in opening weekend.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I think you look at that Utah game. Utah's a tough place to win. Kyle Whittingham's done an amazing job with that program. Florida goes on the road. I think this Florida team's better than they were last year. I just don't know if the record's going to show it. You know, I think they've got better players, and I think their players have taken that next step under you know, Billy Napier. But I just think it's a tough place to win on a Thursday night, you know, in Utah. So I think you're very much on the road on that one. And South Carolina, we're just not really sure what Shane Beamer's team is going to be. And you know, yes, they're going to take care of, you know, they're going to get North Carolina and they're going to get Drake May. But, you know, which South Carolina team are we going to see? I mean, you look at last year, remember, they got beat, they got embarrassed by Florida. And then the following week, they pummeled Tennessee, you know, and then they go on and beat Clemson. So you got to wonder, what kind of South Carolina team is this going to be, you know, when they face North Carolina? And you got to imagine that Drake May, with some of the weapons he has, you know, is going to put up some big numbers. So it could be a very interesting weekend for the SEC. Looking around and starting things off and where some of these teams are going to land.
Matt Michelle joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, national college football writer for the Orlando Sentinel. Are they going to get the Central Florida game in on Thursday? I mean, I know obviously all the hurricanes and we're dealing with rain and stuff here through Atlanta. What's the prognosis of that game getting played on Thursday?
Yeah, you know, at this point they've all said that everyone has said that they're still on schedule to play on Thursday. I know I talked to Kent State spokesperson this morning and said, listen, their plan was to leave Wednesday afternoon, fly into Orlando. They believe the storm's going to miss, you know, Orlando area in the morning or Wednesday morning, and they're going to be able to fly in Wednesday afternoon and be there. I'm not so sure if that's going to be able to happen. I think it's being optimistic. I think more than likely what could happen is you could see Kent State come down here Tuesday, tomorrow afternoon, and maybe hang out and ride out the storm and then maybe try to get that game in. I think the biggest question is just going to be, where does the storm go when you look at the path? You know, is it going to, you know, cause a lot of damage and devastation? Because believe me, having been through this many, many times in my life, you know, hosting a football game is the least thing to be thinking about during all this. And it also takes away from, you know, EMTs and fire department and police. If they're busy doing other things, you don't necessarily want to have a game. So you could maybe see that game get pushed on a Friday. But at this point right now, everyone still says it's a go for Thursday night.
You know, Matt, let me ask you about the Clemson-Duke game coming up on Monday. And, you know, I've been to Wallace Wade Stadium. It's not exactly the most intimidating place to have to play, you know, a college football game. But there is a lot of questions about what direction Clemson is going to be. And I don't think it's a matter of Clemson losing to Duke or whatever like that. But I really do think that they're – I think for Clemson, they need some style points. Like, they need to look like the old Clemson. And I don't know – like I've said, the last 2 years, they have not been coached very well on offense. Like, their coaching philosophy has not been very good. It's not that they don't have players, but their coaching has, I think, really let them down. How important is this game just for Clemson to get that eye appeal back, that eye test back where – okay, you know, we take Clemson as a serious contender for a national title.
Yeah, I think it's very important. I mean, listen, you're taking on a Duke team that had a great year last year. You know, Mike Elko's done a great job. You know, this is a team that's going to give them a little bit of trouble. But if you're Clemson, you know, you got to come out there and showcase yourself offensively. I mean, you got a new offensive coordinator and Garrett Riley. Garrett Riley's job is to basically make this offense more exciting. You've got a top talent quarterback in Kate Klubnik. You hope that he's the guy that's going to be able to step up and make plays. You've got talents all around him with Will Shipley, you know, running back. You got talented receivers. Your offensive line comes back. This, to me, is where you've got to showcase that offense. You've got to show the development at the quarterback position. That's something that Clemson hasn't done over the last 3 or 4 years. It's not because they haven't had the talent. It's just they somehow have not been able to get the things to work out right. I mean, G.J. Ugalele was supposed to be the next big thing from Trevor Lawrence. And he just fell apart. They just couldn't find a way to get him to play better. And then now you've got Cade, and yes, they made a strong push last year, but you've got to think at some point they've got to be even stronger this year if they feel like they're going to make any sort of statement. And against a Duke team that's going to challenge them a little bit. You know, I think this is a Duke team that's got a good defensive line that's going to come forward and try to put a lot of pressure on them. So I think this is a big showcase for them, and they want to start out on the right foot because they realize, as you mentioned earlier, they got Florida State a couple weeks away, and they want to make sure they handle that game just as well.
And, Matt, I will say I think what's going to be the most fun battle in college football, and this is kind of my take on it, I think the most fun battle is going to be who's going to win the Big Ten Offensive Player of the Year award. Is it going to be Blake Corum or Marvin Harrison Jr.? Because I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best player in college football, and I would not be in the least bit surprised with the way the NFL values the wide receiver position and is paying these guys ungodly sums of money to be wide receivers in the league now, I wouldn't be surprised at all, even with all the quarterbacks, if Marvin Harrison's not the number one overall pick next year in the draft.
Yeah, I think it depends a lot on what the performances are. Like, if Caleb Williams comes out and wins another Heisman, let's not think that he's not going to somehow, you know, I mean, that wouldn't put his name at the top of that list. But I agree with you. I mean, if the quarterbacks are okay this year, you know, if I'm a GM, an NFL GM, I look at a wide receiver. I look at someone who can get the ball in his hands and do multiple things. Yes, quarterback's an important position, but wide receiver is very much important. We know that running backs are devalued in the NFL. So that, to me, would be a guy I would want to go after. Not to say that Blake Corum isn't an outstanding running back and is going to put up big numbers again. But to go to the NFL, he's a guy that's not going to get picked, you know, until late in the first round, more than likely. And where Harrison would probably be, like you said, first, second, maybe third pick of the overall of the draft, depending on what happens to the quarterback situation.
Yeah, and again, I think if the Houston Texans are sitting there at number one, I would not understand how they would not take Marvin Harrison and partner him back up with C.J. Stroud. But that's just me. You know, again, those guys have done pretty well with one another. Matt, give me a team in one of the group of five that could make some noise this year. I mean, obviously, we've seen Cincinnati over the last few years make some noise. Obviously, Tulane had a really good year last year. Give me a group of five team that you've got your eye on that you think could be pretty good or upset the apple cart this year.
Well, I think, you know, you talked about Tulane. You know, I mean, I still think Tulane's going to be a strong showcase this year. I mean, you know, the American needs someone to step up. Now that UCF and Cincinnati and Houston have left, I think Tulane, Willie Fritz has always been one of those underrated coaches, in my opinion, a guy who could definitely step in and find a way to continue this program and get it up there. I think UTSA is one of those programs, too, as well, that's been just right there. They had a strong season last year. Again, can they make a push? Is it enough to get into the college football playoff, you know, like into the New Year's Six college football playoff mix? Maybe you're looking at it. I would also, you know, argue that you could look at a team like a Boise State. You know, Boise State has always seemed to have been on the cusp of being right there, maybe to make a big push. They did it under Chris Peterson. Brian Harsin obviously had to take them to the next level. They've been down a little bit here or there, but again, you're talking about the Mountain West. What can you showcase in the Mountain West? You know, I think, to me, it's not going to be a team from the American, maybe so much so that is the top team. I think I'm looking at maybe the Sun Belt or Mountain West. I think the American takes a little step back this year, and I think those two conferences, the Group of Five conferences, maybe produce a team because, again, lots of realignment, lots of teams have gone in there, and I think both those conferences have gotten a little bit stronger.
Matt, last question for you. I mean, look, there's no question about the strength and the power of the University of Georgia. Is there anything that you see on the horizon that could be a stumbling block? I don't see with their regular season schedule, and obviously with Oklahoma not on the schedule, I don't see a reason why they're not 12-0 heading to the SEC title game this year.
Well, if they're not 12-0 and they get to and they get to the SEC championship game, I would be disappointed. It would be a disappointment you look at their schedule. I mean, this is not the strongest of schedules, believe me, as we all know. And I think that, you know, even with a new quarterback, even with Carson Beck coming in, and, you know, you have enough talent on the defensive side of the football, that they're going to keep games close. And as long as you don't turn the ball over, and as long as you don't, you know, really, you know, get, you know, shoot yourself in the foot, I think they have an opportunity to be in every game. They should win every game by double digits going into that. Then you get into the SEC championship game, and that remains to be seen who they end up facing, and maybe that be a big of a challenge. But I figure they're going to get to the college football playoff. I think they're going to be right there once again, and they've got a good chance. If everything comes together and gels right, they've got a good chance to get that third straight national championship, which would be unbelievable when you think about in today's day and age. I mean, last one happened in, what, Minnesota in the mid-30s. So for when you look at a guy like Kirby Smart, the job he's been able to do at Georgia, and to be able to reload after all the pieces they lost last year going to the NFL, I just think everything just worked out really well for them. If that schedule is a little tougher, maybe you point to some things, but there's no one on this schedule that I look at right now that I think has any chance really of making it difficult for them.
I said last question, but a quick 30-second answer. You know, is the SEC is going to go away from divisions next year? The ACC is obviously going divisionless this year. Do you like division play, or do you like the idea of, like what the Big 12 has done, just you have every team top to bottom and the top two teams play each other for the conference championship?
You know, I've kind of back and forth on this. I do like divisions at times because I do think that, you know, coaches like this idea and players like the idea of being a division champion. You know, it makes things a little easier when you're looking at the conference championship game. But having been around the ACC for a while and you see what, you know, the ACC really kind of struggled after for many years, Clemson being the top team, and then, you know, the second best team sometimes wasn't even from the same division. You know, I mean, maybe it would be from the Coastal Division, you know what I mean, or the Atlantic as well. And so, you know, I think not having divisions works for me. I think, you know, getting the two best teams out there and let's see what happens. And I think it's gonna benefit people. I know coaches kind of grumble about it, and players do sometimes, but I think not having divisions is going to work out really well for college football in the future.
Matt Michelle is a national college football writer for the Orlando Sentinel. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at OS Matt Michelle, and he joined me here on the WaitFor.com hotline. Matt, as always, buddy, appreciate the conversation. Good stuff tonight, as always, and we'll certainly chat again here through the season.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot. Take
you
care.
Got it. When we get back from the top of the hour, Falcons flyover coming up. Pro Football Focus, and I've been waiting for this article for a little while. Pro Football Focus has their three bold predictions in the NFC South, and specifically each of the teams with the Atlanta Falcons. And let me just preface, it ain't so bold. But we'll talk about that next. Chuck McKee Studios, Sports Radio, Not Time to Game, Odyssey.com app.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.